This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We have a responsibility to make sure that whatever technology is available, that we use that.
Which is why the New York City Police Commissioner says at tonight's New Year's Eve celebrations in Times Square, they'll be using drones for the first time ever.
The drone just gives us a perspective from a greater height. It's going to be tethered. It's not going to be flying over any crowds. And it's the first time we're using it.
Democratic U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts establishing an exploratory committee to consider a 2020 White House run. Warren's team filing the paperwork with the Federal Election Commission to allow her to begin raising and spending money to benefit her likely candidacy. Russia's holding a U.S. citizen on spying charges. The TASS news agency says Paul Whelan was taken into custody by security officers there. A criminal case which could give him as much as 20 years in prison has been opened. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor. True story. He goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM.
Hundreds of thousands of U.S. government workers still impacted by the shutdown.
The partial government shutdown now in its second week and will roll into 2019. Lawmakers return to Capitol Hill after the New Year's holiday on Thursday.
USA Radio's Robin Walensky there. A South Korean newspaper says North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has delivered President Trump a New Year's message that refers to the stalled nuclear talks between the two nations. According to that report, Kim's message was delivered Friday and was conciliatory in tone. The report does not say, though, how the message was delivered, and it gave no further details other than it related to talks between the U.S. and North Korea. Actor Kevin Spacey's looking to avoid his arraignment in Nantucket next week on a sexual assault charge. His lawyer is filing a motion asking he not be required to appear at the January 7th arraignment. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
The nation's biggest operator of shelters for migrant kids could face criminal charges in Phoenix, Arizona. The Maricopa County Sheriff's Office referring a case of alleged abuse by Southwest Key to the county attorney's office. The sheriff's office decided to refer the case to prosecutors after surveillance video went public. The video obtained by the Arizona Republic shows Southwest Key staffers pushing and dragging migrant kids into a shelter. Law enforcement agencies across the nation are warning against what could become a deadly consequence of celebratory gunfire as the new year arrives. Here's John Clemens.
Usually around the 4th of July and right before New Year's Eve, law enforcement agencies issue a warning about the dangers of firing a weapon in the air in jubilation. Anyone who fires a gun in a public place without a legitimate reason, protecting yourself or shooting in a firing range, runs the risk of killing or injuring someone else even miles away. Some states have laws on the books that include prison time with hefty fines for firing a weapon in the air. I'm John Clemens.
And Aquaman keeps swamping the competition at North America's box offices, as the movie was this week's most popular, earning just over $51 million in its second week in theaters. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Live.
Hey, it's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we've been off. I mean, how long is this going to continue, right? 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Merry Christmas to you. I am Bill Martinez, just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Steve Cortez joins us now, CNN commentator, former Trump campaign operative. Steve, it's just too bad that nothing's going on. I guess we'll just have to sit around and talk about the family and what we got each other for Christmas, I guess, huh?
That's right, Bill. You know, but listen, this is the Trump news cycle. I often tell some of my colleagues in mainstream media that, you know, as much as they can't stand President Trump, do you know how much they're going to miss him someday when he's gone?
And yes.
I hope that's not for 6 years, by the way. But whatever happens after him and whoever succeeds him, the news will seem so boring compared to the frenetic, constant pace of the Trump era that they won't know what to do with themselves.
Well, Steve, do you imagine all the time they used to spend coming up with headlines? They don't have to do that anymore. They just go to Twitter, look at what Trump has said. That's the headline for the day.
You know, Bill, so I've been doing live TV news for 12 years. I started in financial news in 06 with CNBC, mostly talking markets, not so much politics and policy, and I've obviously shifted over to the political realm. But I can tell you, I can remember plenty of shows where we would have an hour-long show and we'd be doing a conference call before the show, and literally the producers would be saying, we don't know how we're going to fill you out. You know,
yes.
And they'd be in your ear sometimes when you're on air saying, stretch.
Yes.
Like, keep talking, right, about this
right.
topic, because we don't have another topic to go to. It is so the opposite now. You know,
exactly.
You could do an hour show. You could easily do 5 hours and not run out of material. And if anything, they're in my ear now saying, rap.
Yeah, exactly.
Get to the next point.
I hear you. Well, let's talk about a wall. Do we wall or no wall? What's the deal here?
You know, I've got to tell you, unfortunately, I'm pessimistic on this right now, meaning that I'm pessimistic about us actually getting the wall. And I'm frankly a little frustrated with the president. I really am. And, you know, I don't criticize him very often. But I don't think that he, at least so far, now we'll see, you know, this is the chapter's not closed yet, obviously. But he's intimating at least that he's interested in a continuing resolution and punting us again to February when we don't have control of the House anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have a lot of leverage right now
yes.
for the wall. We have zero leverage, I believe, come February, over this issue. So honestly, I'm frustrated. I'm not sure that he and the White House understand how important this issue is to his voters.
I'm glad you said this, Steve, because, you know, when it's just like Republicans. I mean, here it is. For 2 years, you had a Republican president, like him or not, non-establishment, whatever, but you threw a fit in these 2 years and you wasted a lot of time. Now you think you're going to negotiate, you're going to get a better deal with Nancy Pelosi? Are you kidding me?
Right. So listen, I'm worried, quite frankly. I'll put it on the table, and I'm worried not just because I think it's important for our country, which of course it is, for our economic and national security. It's something that was promised to the American people, you know, in the clearest of terms, right? This was
right.
not an ambiguous policy
no.
point. This wasn't nebulous. And this was maybe the foundational policy point of his campaign. in 2016. So, you know, it's important from a policy perspective because we need it. It's important because it was promised. But I'll tell you this, too. I believe it's also important for 2020. Mm-hmm. You know, this president wants to get reelected, and I want him reelected. He's done amazing things, and he's kept his promises on so many issues. But this one is critical, Bill. I really believe that if we don't have substantial progress toward the wall, I'm not saying it has to be completed fully, but if we don't have substantial progress toward the wall by 2020, I really fear that he's not reelectable. And I look, I hope I'm wrong, and you know I don't like to criticize the president. He's been an amazing leader. But I think right now he and the White House are not – they don't have a plan, and they're not taking this as seriously as I think they need to, in my opinion.
Well, Steve, I was being a little bit of a brat last night when I wrote the headline for today's show. And I say this a bit gingerly because I mean, playing the race card is ridiculous. But I know on the other side they play the race card in 2 seconds. You know, and I wrote down in the headline, you know, what is this? You give a black president $8 billion to build the wall, and the white president, you can't even come up with five?
Well, it sounds
racist in this, but I mean, you know, it's like here's the people that are so quick to throw out the race card. It's like, wait a minute, you already approved $8 billion for Barack Obama to build the wall, which you didn't know what to do with it. And then, and then here you go, you know, you've got a president who went, you know, from 20 billion, he said, okay, look at, we'll do it in steps. Give me 5 billion. But the Democrats have to save face. I mean, this is a Waterloo moment here a bit, Steve, is it not?
No, I agree. And by the way, speaking of President Obama, if you go back and read some of the things he said about illegal immigration, particularly as a senator, you know who it sounds a lot like? Donald Trump.
Exactly.
You know, and by the way, same with Bill Clinton. If you look at you know, one of his State of the Union speeches way back in the 90s, you know, Democrats used to be sane on this issue. Chuck Schumer, of all people, gave a speech at my alma mater at Georgetown University, a place that I'm not all that proud to be on my alma mater, to be honest. But anyway, that's a different topic. He gave a speech at Georgetown, and he sounded, again, very much like Donald Trump sounds today. And this was just a few years ago. So the Democrats used to be sane. They used to – look, any home, any business, any country has a right to determine who comes in, who comes into their property, their premises, their country, and under what circumstances. The idea that the United States doesn't have that sovereign right and that it doesn't make sense, you know, that's just lunacy. And then for the left, you're right, how quickly they play the race card. For them to try to turn it into something racist is truly absurd. And one of the reasons I say that is, you know, we don't want illegal – we want to keep illegal aliens out of the United States, not because they might be of a different color. And by the way, I don't care where they're from. I don't care if they're from Switzerland. Right. I don't care if they're from Guatemala. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed legally. You're not allowed. But I also find it so hypocritical because the people who suffered the most from illegal immigration, in my view, are Hispanic and black Americans.
Without a doubt.
Americans of color are the ones who have to compete in the workforce against illegal immigrant labor. They're the ones who have to deal with dangerous illegal aliens. You know, if you look, this whole sanctuary city nonsense, I hate that term because it's not sanctuary. But if you look at the victims, most of the time, if you read about these crimes,
they're minorities.
Of course. It's because those are the neighborhoods they live in, Bill.
That's right.
So,
right.
You know, in fact, I would argue it's racist to not enforce our border.
Exactly. Well, but you see, all this point's missing. But this is why, you know, look at minorities across the country with their Obama phone still or whatever they got, they ought to be jamming the switchboard at the White House and encouraging this president because he's fighting for them, Steve, to your point.
Right.
Exactly. Because, you know, the president is one man. I mean, he certainly, look, he's got a big ego. We all understand that. But he's a human being that needs encouragement. You know, I've been saying for a long time, he needs reinforcements. He needs people of like mind that can sit there during those moments like right now, Steve. I agree with you. I think he might be a little weary about it and thinking, okay, maybe there's a compromise, something to come up with. No, he needs to fix his jaw like a flint. He needs to stay focused on what he said, you know, during the campaign, that it is the wall. And I don't care, you know, I knew from day one the way he was going to work out the math. I knew Nieto wasn't going to write a check for the wall. There's ways to get Mexico to pay for it. And, you know, but the media is going to tear it apart. They think it's a joke because in their knuckleheadedness, because they hate Trump so bad, they think that, you know, he's not fulfilled his promise because Nieto didn't write a check for it.
Right. No, and listen, you know, to your point, too, and I do believe that. And again, I'm very hesitant always to be, you know, tough on our president because he's been such an incredible leader. Mm-hmm. One thing I did, I was privileged and honored to go to the White House Christmas party on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I did, talk to a lot of senior staff about this issue, is really reinforced to them, because I think sometimes they can even get, you know, even though they are still the outsiders,
right,
in D.C., there's times that they can, I think, by osmosis, adopt a little bit of that beltway thinking of, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, well, we're not going to get the wall. We have to figure out another way. And I was trying to tell them, you know, as somebody coming in from the outside who doesn't work in government,
right,
remember how important this is to Trump.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the issue. And I'm saying them too, is we can't go back.
Got to go to break. More from Steve after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
To Bill Martinez live.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let let your heart be light. Next year, all our troubles will be out of sight.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, you got to remember, that was then, that is now. I'm not sure next year all our troubles will be out of sight, because what's going to be coming into focus with a gavel in her hand is Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, and the whole crew here. We're just going to have all kinds of fun. Steve, like you said, we're not going to worry about any headlines or worry about what to talk about, because it's going to be nonstop. But, you know, to kind of wrap up what you said earlier, which was so important, I got to tell you, if blacks and Hispanics are not on the phone right now encouraging this president and getting on and putting the pressure back on, you know, their elected officials, I mean, we are not going to get this wall. I mean, forget about a government shutdown. That's just a minor deal. The main right. thing is our border security. That has to happen. As you mentioned very clearly, I mean, the facts are there. The people that get impacted by this the most are Hispanics, blacks, minorities in this country, and they need to let their voices, their minority voices, be heard in a big way, encouraging this president and get and put the pressure on their elected officials to say, look at, build the wall. The heck of this crazy, all this talk. I mean, Steve, it sounds ludicrous. I mean, well, it's not exactly a wall. It's a double fence. I mean, it's all right. this It's like, come on.
Well, and by the way, you know, Speaker Ryan, who, you know, I have very few kind things to say about, right? But you know what? He could leave a legacy if in these final weeks he would actually work and do something and lead before he's no longer Speaker Ryan. Before you're right, unfortunately, we're going to have Speaker Pelosi, but his failure to get anything done on the wall, you know, to me marks a terrible end to what was, you know, for the most part, a terrible speakership, quite frankly. And I think one of the reasons we lost the House, you know, really, is because of his totally inept leadership.
Yeah, don't even get me started on that, because I kept saying all along, where is he? Well, I mean, you got President right. Trump, you know, campaigning, and I'm going, where's Ryan? And even beforehand, there was no strategy going into it. Oh, just let everybody quit. You know, all at the same time, it's like, wait a minute, you can't even convince them they need to stay in the fight for, you know, another cycle at least, so that we're not having that many people walk out the door and leaving that right. many seats vulnerable. How did that make sense?
Well, and far too many of them, Bill, let's be honest, all right, because I'm as critical of Republicans sometimes as Democrats, far too many of them leaving to walk into really cushy, highly paid lobbying jobs.
Right.
Let's
yeah.
just be honest about that. Yeah. That's the carousel of Washington, D.C., of the establishment, both Republican and Democrat. It's why the president was elected, though, to smash that system of cronyism that works for its benefit to the detriment of the rest of the country. But one thing we're finding is, you know, the swamp, I think, is deeper and more nefarious than we ever imagined. I mean, we knew it was bad. Well, it's even worse.
Exactly.
We suspected. And unfortunately, a lot of Republicans are swamp creatures. And I think one of them is Speaker Ryan. But again, I would implore him, as critical as I am of him, I would implore him, he can do something great here in these final days of his speakership. Let's get something done on the wall. And to me, the compromise that makes sense, where the Democrats might actually bite in the Senate, because we will need their votes in the Senate, is DACA for wall. So let's make DACA permanent, which the president has already offered. I know some people in Team Trump don't agree with me on that and don't agree with the president, but he's already offered that. He already put that on the table. He says these illegal immigrants are different. They didn't choose to break our laws. They were brought here as children. They're now adults. They've lived here, many of them, almost their whole lives. Let's make their status permanent.
Right.
And in return, the wall. To me, that's a perfect one-for-one sensible trade that I think can actually get done if we were to see leadership from Ryan, from Schumer, from McConnell. But again, they seem more intent on pass a continuing resolution and get home for Christmas.
Well, exactly.
That's not what we elected them for.
No, you're exactly right. Well, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Schumer have to feel like they've got some sort of win here, because their backs are stiff, their necks are solid on this deal. And, you know, if they relent to this president in any way, this is going to be a big problem for them politically, no doubt. So they've got to find something, you know, to get a breakthrough on this deal for, you know, for the welfare of this country, no doubt about it. Let's talk real quick. We've got about 5 minutes left. The Flynn non-sentencing deal. Speaking of the swamp, I mean, boy, I'll tell you, the swamp personality was running deep and on full parade between the Flynn on sentency and James Comey on the Hill.
Right. No, and listen, this was, unfortunately, to me, the greatest outrage of the Obama presidency, and there's a lot of problems, but the greatest outrage to me was the way the Obama DOJ and the way his national security team really weaponized our national security officials and methods against an opposition campaign, the Trump campaign, and then against an incoming administration, even worse, right, once he had actually won, to try to delegitimize an incoming administration. And it's reprehensible. I think if there are actual crimes from 2016, those are the crimes. It's within the Obama DOJ and FBI. It's not within the Trump campaign.
Now, look, it's certainly not with the Russians. I mean, we had more interference from the Democrats and the DNC and Hillary Clinton than we did, Vladimir Putin.
Right. And as far as Flynn goes, I don't know why he lied to this day. I'd love to know the answer, because he had every right and prerogative to speak to Ambassador Kislyak as an incoming. He was then the incoming national security advisor.
Right.
I don't know why he lied. He shouldn't have.
But the FBI agents are saying he didn't lie. I mean, this is what's so goofy about all this stuff. And then the judge yesterday makes it sound like, he was treasonous and, he should be all but shot, because of what he did. And to me, even his acceptance of it was like, I just want to get this over with. This has been a drain on me and my family and everything. I mean, you just had this sense of he's looking forward to just, hey, let's just close this chapter. Let's move on. And I can get on with my life here. And then what does the judge do? Says, well, yeah, I mean, it was almost like the judge was saying, well, do you want to enter a different plea? I mean, it was kind of the signals that were coming. And then the judge, I mean, we're talking the judge, Steve. He didn't even remember certain things. His understanding of the case was convoluted. And some of the statements he's making is like, where have you been? Are you not prepared?
Right. No, you're exactly right. Because they had two different sessions, because I think they broke for lunch. Mm-hmm. And the morning versus afternoon, you're exactly right. It was almost like he was looking at a different case, which was crazy. Look, I think that he did make mistakes, though, regardless. Whether or not he exactly lied to the FBI, we know he lied to the vice president.
Right.
Why
exactly.
He was fired, right?
Right.
But this is an honorable man who made some mistakes. I think minor mistakes, but an incredibly honorable patriot. And because of that, I believe the president should pardon him. And he should have done it already, but it's not too late.
Eventually he will, but right now, anything that has to do with Mueller and this deal, I think the president needs to navigate around that carefully a little bit, because the media will go nuts. I mean, and why even at times he's brought up, well, Manafort, he may pardon Manafort. Don't even talk about it.
Right. Manafort's a whole different, whole different ball of wax, right?
Right.
I mean, that is a swamp operator. I'm not going to call him a patriot. I mean, he didn't risk his life for our country the way General Flynn did.
Exactly.
He was massively paid by some pretty scummy foreign money. Didn't report it, didn't pay taxes. I mean, he is a swamp operator.
Right.
So to me, pardoning him is a whole different circumstance.
Yes.
And my guess is he probably shouldn't be, although, I don't know everything, obviously, on that. But Flynn, to me, is kind of a layup of, this.
No, I would agree. I would agree ultimately with that, Steve. James Comey, though, boy, I'll tell you, the lies, the misremembering, the dodge that he is going. I mean, he figures, hey, why not? I'll play the game. The Democrats will be here and, the Republicans, for all the hell they're giving me, they're going to get it back here in short order.
Just how brazenly political he is, how partisan he is, which is really too bad, because it betrays the FBI. It betrays the rank and file FBI agents, who are brave men and women who do hard work, dangerous work for our country to keep us safe. And I've talked to a number of them, and of course, off the record, they tell me they're just disgusted by him.
Yeah, exactly.
And the disrepute that he has brought to that amazing bureau. And that, the really just nakedly, brazenly partisan agenda that he had, both as director and now even, as ex-director.
Yeah.
Of the FBI. No, I think his performance was shameful, as it has been really since 2016. And again, it's a betrayal of the FBI.
Yeah, I think that had President Trump not fired him, I think there were several congressmen that say, I'm going to fire you right now, just, for the silly answers you're giving us. You're the FBI director? This is ridiculous. Steve Cortez, CNN commentator, former Trump campaign operative on Bill Martinez Live. Steve, Merry Christmas to you and the family, okay? Take care.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life.
I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We have a responsibility to make sure that whatever technology is available, that we use that.
Which is why the New York City Police Commissioner says at tonight's New Year's Eve celebrations in Times Square, they'll be using drones for the first time ever.
The drone just gives us perspective from a greater height. It's going to be tethered. It's not going to be flying over any crowds. And it's the first time we're using it.
Democratic U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts establishing an exploratory committee to consider a 2020 White House run. Warren's team filing the paperwork with the Federal Election Commission to allow her to begin raising and spending money to benefit her likely candidacy. Russia's holding a U.S. citizen on spying charges. The TASS news agency says Paul Whelan was taken into custody by security officers there. A criminal case which could give him as much as 20 years in prison has been opened. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
I want to live this life unsafe, unsure, but not afraid.
Bill Martinez.
Independent, just the way you like to hear us, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Martinez, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bruce Thatcher joins us. He is the founder and proprietor of History Speaks. What a legacy History Speaks has and what they do and what the team does on behalf of we the people to make sure that we are learning from history. I mean, this is what historians teach us. And Bruce, I got to imagine as a historian, this is so frustrating for you. It is for me. I don't consider myself at the level of being a historian. Certainly, I have a high interest in history. You are so passionate about it. I mean, you will probably, you probably have forgotten more history than I could ever learn. And I am so grateful to have you on the show. My point is this has to be frustrating for you when you see our casual approach to history, especially in this time and age. I mean, we are really setting ourselves up to a lot of problems down the road here in River City.
We could avoid them, too, or at least we could mitigate an awful lot of them if we would pay serious attention to some of the lessons that history teaches us. We have this current border crisis that we have is an example of that kind of a problem. problem. We have, and I refer to it as, well, another crisis at the border, another crisis with immigration. And, of course, we're going to have another crisis. And once this thing gets resolved, give it another month or 2 months, and there will be another crisis because we refuse to deal with the problem in manners that history has taught us will give us a successful immigration policy.
Well, part of the problem that we're dealing with, Bruce, and you and I have discussed this many times, is that we don't even know the truth of the matter. I mean, we've got all these hidden components to why this immigration issue continues to be a crisis. And, you know, the media is not doing us any favors by exposing what the left is doing or even what the right is doing. You know, all I hear is, well, you know, both sides are doing it. Well, I don't want to hear about both sides are doing it. Either let's lay it out. Let's get the facts out here straight and figure out where we made the wrong turn. I mean, the Bracero program at one time was very effective. And, you know, ever since we compromised that, that's added to the complication. What has happened in the most recent decades when it comes to immigration has just, you know, made a mess of things. And now we're to the point where, you know, the talking points from the Republican side was, well, of course, this benefits Democrats because it gives them new voters. And we see what happened in the 2018 elections, how the whole voting, you know, situation has been hijacked by Democrats. And I call it for what it is. I mean, you know, I think it was quite interesting. And you got to start putting two and two together here. Is that, you know, all the lost ballots and ballots that were found in trunks of cars, of rental cars and that sort of thing, were, you know, predominantly Democratic ballots. I mean, doesn't that bring any suspicion to bear on the whole process? So, you know, this is part and parcel of the problem. It's very complex, has been allowed to be complex, because the more complex it is, you know, the more worn out we become. And then what's going to happen, like previously, speaking of history, is then we'll look to the Democrats to fix the problem that they created.
Always let the fox take care of the chickens.
Somehow it makes sense in our American way of life. We're knuckleheads.
Yeah, it's taking care of the real problems, of course, is tough, really.
Yes.
Tough. As a result, we tend to, by we, I guess I mean our Congress people, our elected representatives, tend to take the easiest thing that'll give them sound bites for the future election and getting reelection. They don't want to deal with the tough problems, but there is one group of people for whom it is not above their pay grade. That's what we're paying them to do.
Right.
And they won't do it.
But then they get upset. But then they get upset, Bruce, when a guy like Donald Trump, who's a businessman, comes in and goes, enough of this problem. Let's get this thing squared away. He goes head to head with the problem. He offers up solutions. And then, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Schumer are, you know, in the fetal position back in the corner. Some of the Republicans within the establishment going, well, this is not the way we play the game here. Well, no, the way you play the game is how you messed up the game. We're trying to, you know, square this thing away for the good of both sides of the border, for the people who want to come into this country, the people, the citizens who are here. And, oh, yeah, last time I checked, yeah, my number one job as president of the United States is national security.
Yep, national security and enforcing the laws. And enforcing the laws is one of the ways to really stir up the establishment people, because they don't want the laws enforced, except that part of them that they happen to like at the time. And you can look at politicians on this issue, and Chuck Schumer is an example, and listen to what they said 5, 6, 8, 10 years ago, and you run it against what they're saying today, and it's exactly the opposite, because
right.
What they're wanting is they're wanting to support a personal agenda or a party agenda, not a U.S. agenda.
Exactly. They're not about to go along and give Donald Trump, the Republicans, any kind of credit whatsoever, which is, you know, maybe one of the things that we can appreciate from the passing of the 41st president of the United States, and one of the qualities that stuck out that you hear repeatedly about George H.W. Bush, was that he wasn't one to really, you know, claim credit on things. That's what leadership is all about. Ronald Reagan was the same way. When you look back at the great leaders of our country, they were the ones that were willing to, you know, elevate the other person, and in the process of doing so, I mean, look at Bill Clinton, for example. Without Newt Gingrich, Bill Clinton's administration, his presidency, his legacy is down the toilet.
There isn't any.
Yeah.
I think it was Ronald Reagan who said, you can get all kinds of things done if you don't care who gets the credit.
Exactly.
And now it seems to be all about what's going to help me win the next election. It's just really agonizing. This immigration crisis, which the current immigration crisis in the caravans was introduced to the American public by the press, in time to hurt the Republican chances in the election. And the big, you know, we announced and we got and we saw huge caravans, 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 people moving toward the United States to force their way in and get asylum. And how did this happen? We've been having caravans coming from the border for years, but they tend to be 100 people. Or
right.
50 people.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden we have one of 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 people.
Right.
It didn't happen. It wasn't spontaneous. It didn't happen overnight. But as soon as the election was over, it dropped from the news.
Yes.
It was of no interest anymore until I got here.
Mm-hmm.
And then it suddenly is an interest again because there's nice photo ops, there's humanitarian shots, there's staged pictures, there's all kinds of things to show how bad the Trump administration is because they won't just let them in.
This is what's messing them up. See, Republicans in the past would have folded already, not Donald Trump. And of course, they were saying, Bruce, not that long ago, this was all Donald Trump's doing. He had orchestrated this in order to offset the projected losses, you know, that Republicans were going to take. I mean, what a joke. And when they found out that didn't, get any kind of traction, well, then they kind of sat back for a little bit. And now here they are, you know, trying to exercise, as you say, these photo ops and things again to make Donald Trump look bad. But what they're doing is perpetuating the very problem that they have been accommodating all these years.
What Donald Trump has done is, and first, his positions were made clear when he was running for president.
Right. We got about 10 seconds here, Bruce. Okay. Go ahead.
And what he's done is he simply has said, okay, this is what you elected me for, and this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed, or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. That's 800-485-2167.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair you once had? Now you can with Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-bodied head of hair. Reveal for men and women with all hair types comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get yours at BillMartinezLive.com. Save up to 40%. Just click the banner at BillMartinezLive.com for all the details to start to live, feel, and be young again.
Ask yourself, what do you pay for health care? Are you single? Do you pay more than $199 a month? Are you a couple? Do you pay more than $249 a month? Do you have a family? Do you pay more than $529 a month? Yes, you can serve the entire family with health care for only $529 a month. Sign up at any time of the year, pick your own doctor and hospital, ask any questions in our live chat box. It takes 2 minutes to find out how to save. Go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Hey, everybody. everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You will never run away, you're forever mine. You will never run away, you're by my side.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
You will never run away.
Fresh and independent, that's the way you like us. This is Bill Martinez, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. A conversation with Bruce Thatcher, founder of History Speaks Today, continues. History Speaks Today is a project dedicated to sharing elemental truths, learn from accomplishments and failures of those in our past to help us avoid making the same mistakes again and again. That is a bit logical, isn't it? I mean, it does make sense. You know, why do we want to not take advantage of the history that we've experienced? I mean, after all, we've got blood, treasure, all of that invested in it, and I think it is such a waste when we let that go by the wayside, and this is why we're so grateful to have Bruce on the show. Bruce, before we get back and pick up the discussion that we had, I did wanted to get your comment on this. I thought it was quite interesting over the weekend. You know, we heard from, you know, Dick Cheney, Jim Baker, others within the administration of George Herbert Walker Bush, our 44th president of the United States. But I thought something that was clearly missing was the voice of Dan Quayle. You know, it's like, well, what did Dan Quayle do? Did he, you know, did he upset the Bush family or something? I don't know. I mean, I've always just appreciated, I thought, what Dan Quayle brought to the ticket and also how he served as vice president. I would say that he did write an article about his experiences with the president. He says, after the inauguration on January the 20th, 1989, George Bush and I walked over to the east front of the Capitol to say goodbye to Ronald Reagan. A few moments later, as we watched the helicopter carry off the 40th president, I heard the 41st say quietly, "There goes a man who was very good to me." This was the end of Bush's eight-year partnership with Reagan and the beginning of his partnership with me. And though ours would last for just one term, it could hardly have been more collegial, uncomplicated, or free of tension. We were friends who quickly became close friends. We remained so through all the years since right up until his passing. Vice presidents don't always stay on the best of terms with the presidents they serve. What starts out as partly a political calculation, the selection of a running mate is by no means certain to mature into warm friendship. In our case, Vice President Quayle writes, what made all the difference was a few choices we made early and the character of Bush himself. I thought it's important to hear from Dan Quayle. What do you say?
Well, Dan Quayle is one of maybe one of the last few decades' most underrated politicians or political figures. He, he picked up from the press a couple of almost cruel caricatures from things that had nothing to do with his beliefs or policies. But he, in writings like this and in speeches and things that have occurred since then, he was a very insightful person. And what's coming out maybe more now than I understood at the time is how close he was with his president.
Yes.
And as he says, that often has not been the case with vice presidents who were picked for their political appeal in a campaign and then shoved off in the closet until after the next campaign.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he went on to say, he says, it helped that the president was also my predecessor as vice president. To your point, he knew the job and its potential hazards, staff rivalries, unaligned agendas, the usual guessing game about the number two man's further ambitions. Bush had figured out how to steer clear of those troubles and also how to make the most of a position with little executive authority. No one in the Reagan administration had more international experience than Vice President Bush. He knew the world and most of the major players personally. He put all his strengths in the service of the Reagan agenda. I will say this, Bruce, we've said often about, you know, the whole presidential process. We end up electing people in such a way that it's, to me, it's one of the biggest on-the-job training positions on the planet. And when you think about it, it's not like somebody goes and, you know, goes to Harvard or Columbia or whatever to learn how to be president. It's, you know, by popularity, you know, by persuasion, you know, you find yourself in the Oval Office. But I think in, you know, when you look back at the story and the history of the 41st president, he was very qualified, you know, with his background. I mean, what led up to it? His experiences, you know, were so wide and broad that it really, in terms of experience, made him well qualified to be, you know, the president of the United States.
As compared to some present-day examples, it's
exactly
it's almost blinding the breadth of experience he had in serving his country in the military and in business and in entrepreneurial kinds of business. He understood. He understood and working from the ground up, he understood a big chunk of the American people, which which arguably current politicians often do not.
And Bruce, you know, I'm glad you brought up the business background because we look to Donald Trump's business acumen, but we forget the business acumen and the upbringing that H.W. had experienced as an oil man. I mean, he understood and worked it. And as you said, from the ground up, it wasn't like all of a sudden he found himself at the top of the heap in the oil profession and industry. He worked his way up, you know, from the bottom.
And there are parallels to Trump. And then now Bush had all kinds of, by the time he got on the national stage, he had all kinds of political experience and insight from the activities that he'd had around the world in assignments. And Trump didn't have those, but Trump certainly had the business experience, the experience with the common American, the working horny-handed, hands-on experience that most modern-day politicians seem not to have any comprehensive of. And Bush, presidency is learning on the job, no question about it. Some have to learn more than others. And Trump had some rough times in the beginnings because he's learning on the job. But I'd say he's past the learning phase. I'd say he's probably pretty aware of where the things lie now. And
the other thing that's greatly underestimated, the other thing that's greatly underestimated, because, you know, they want to caricature him, Saturday Night Live, progressives, the Democrats, everybody that absolutely hates, you know, Donald Trump, is they want us to believe the guy's an idiot. I mean, the guy's a smart guy. I mean, you cannot underestimate his intelligence. I mean, here the guy takes, you know, what he takes out 17, I believe, very qualified Republican candidates from all, you know, parts of the Republican Party. He takes them on, and he's the last man standing. And look at his business acumen, what he has done successfully, and what he has done so far in less than 2 years. I don't know another president, including Ronald Reagan, that has moved so rapidly as Donald Trump. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't possibly have been able to affect this if he was a total knucklehead, could he?
No, of course not. And the Saturday Night Live crowd, the Hollywood crowd, and look who they support and want as their political picks. But they, if you can notice, and the thought occurred to me, you notice that they and the press never underestimates a Democrat candidate.
Right.
But all the Republican, or maybe not all, but often it is the Republican candidates who suddenly turn out to be idiots in the criterion used by the elitists, and I'm going to call them elitists, mm-hmm. in the political spectrum.
Well, you know, Bruce, we've got to continue this conversation, but we've only got a couple of minutes left, and I want to allow that time for the Refugee Act of 1980. I mean, we're almost 40 years down the road here, and I think what's coming to the head here, again, what has gotten lost in history and time is the understanding of, you know, what the Refugee Act of 1980 was about and in granting asylum. Let's give a quick lesson here to everybody so we can bring them up to speed a bit.
Yeah, the Refugee Act of 1980 granted asylum under the terms of the United Nations, of acts in the United Nations that we signed on to. And essentially, it refers to aliens whose life or freedom would be threatened on account of just these criteria: race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group or political opinion. And there's the categories. There's just nothing there says about poverty. Nothing there says about crime. It says these particular five criteria. And we're trying to expand it to make asylum a right of anybody who feels that they don't like what's going on in their country, and surely there are billions of people who feel that way,
right?
And want to come to the United States. The Refugee Act of 1980 and some of its amendments are just incredibly specific under the law as to what you can do, and you can't just let them in, which is the option that a lot of people seem to want. Because that's easy, but responding in that way won't end the problem. It just means the problem will get bigger.
Exactly.
And some of the other criteria, I mean, there are other things we could do, and the things that will last longer than the 2 weeks of the current crisis are tough. Mm. We talked earlier about tough and how hard that is. One of the things about Trump is he's willing to take on the tough things.
Mm. Well, as John F. Kennedy says, we do it not because, you know, because it's hard. It's because it's hard that we do it. And that's what lies before us right now. So, right? So that's the challenge and the opportunity. Bruce Thatcher from History Speaks on Bill Martinez Live. Bruce, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com. Attendance is free. That's acs2018.com.
Anytime, any